Welcome to God Cares for You, a series of radio broadcasts featuring Pastor Rory Clark of Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church based in Mesa, Arizona. Pastor Rory teaches the truth of the Word of God in a simple and understandable way that is easy to apply to your everyday life. Here's Pastor Rory Clark.
When you stop to look at your lifestyle, how would you describe it? Would you describe your lifestyle as immoral? Immorality is a lifestyle not conforming to accepted standards of morality. I call it the lifestyle of sex, drugs, and rock and roll. It's the lifestyle people adopt when they want to believe that there are no rules. Or would you describe your lifestyle as moral? Morality is described as a lifestyle of right and wrong. It's an attempt to manifest high principles of proper conduct. I call it the lifestyle of I'm better than you. Well, whether your lifestyle is moral or immoral, it's unacceptable to God. Why? Stay tuned and we'll tell you. Welcome to the program. Today's lesson, God wants to let you off the hook. God wants to let you off the hook. This radio program has benefit to anyone who is willing to listen, but it's really directed to people who don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we call them unbelievers. Unbelievers have one of two lifestyles, moral or immoral. Now, whether you're moral or immoral, the Bible pronounces you guilty of sin and indicts your lifestyle in a passage that extends from Romans chapter 1, verse 18 to Romans chapter 3, verse 20. A lifestyle of sin is a lifestyle that will meet God's wrath. Now that could be bad news if it wasn't for the fact that God is willing to let you off the hook. To the immoral, God did this. He gave them over. Romans chapter 1, verses 24 to 26 say it this way. Therefore God gave them over in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they, the immoral ones, exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And for this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. God allows the destruction of immorality to take root in those who practice immorality. As the rest of the first chapter of Romans describes in great detail. And there is nothing worse that I can think of than to have God give us over to ourselves. Immorality is not God's plan for His creatures, nor is morality. Here's the passage of study in Romans chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. Therefore, you have no excuse, every one of you who passes judgment. For in that which you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. Romans 2:2. And we know that the judgment of God rightly falls upon those who practice such things. Romans 2:3. But do you suppose this, O man, when you pass judgment on those who practice such things and then do the same yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Romans 2:4. Or do you think lightly of the riches of His kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? Romans 2:5. But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourselves in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Romans 2:6, who will render to each person according to his deeds. Romans 2:7, to those who by perseverance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immorality, eternal life. Romans 2:8, but to those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath and indignation. Romans 2:9, there will be tribulation and distress for every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Greek. Romans 2:10, but glory and honor and peace to everyone who does good, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Romans 2:11, for there is no partiality with God. Whether you're an unbeliever living the immoral lifestyle, or an unbeliever living the moral lifestyle, or even if you're creative and you're living a combination of the two, a mixture of the moral and immoral lifestyles, there is no partiality with God. Here's what God has to say about the result of the two lifestyles in the first part of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22. For as in Adam, all are set to die the second death. For as in Adam, all are set to die the second death. Oops! The lifestyle of the unbeliever is described as a lifestyle in Adam, in union with Adam, a lifestyle every one of us is born into. And the two choices of lifestyle in Adam are morality and immorality. Yet those two lifestyles, the moral lifestyle and the immoral lifestyle, place you squarely on the hook for the second death. What is the second death? Revelation chapter 20, verse 14, then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. Matthew chapter 13, verses 41 and 42 say, the Son of Man, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks, that's a term referencing unbelievers, and all those who commit lawlessness, those are unbelievers, and will throw them into the furnace of fire. And in that place, the lake of fire, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In that place, there will be pain. Well, the opening passage of Romans chapter 2 is a divine wake-up call. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. Say this, the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be? Through the Bible, God tells us what sort of people we ought to be. God tells us what we need to hear and not what we want to hear. The Lord specifically tells us what sort of people we ought to be in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 3. He says, incline your ear and come to me. We are people who should be listening to the Lord. Listen that you may live. And I, the Lord, will make an everlasting covenant with you, according to the faithful mercies shown to David. God loves us unconditionally. God wants to be merciful to us, wants to be gracious to us, yet he gives us a choice, wrath or righteousness. For unbelievers, who choose it? Wrath. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 24 says this, the fierce anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has performed and until he has accomplished the intent of his heart. In the latter days, you will understand this. For believers who choose a relationship with Christ, righteousness. Psalm 34, verse 17 says this, the righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. So what's your choice, wrath or righteousness? You may think you can work for righteousness, but your works, your self-made righteousness, will never achieve God's requirement of righteousness. Romans chapter 11, verse 6 says, if salvation is given by God's grace, and of course it is, then salvation is no longer on the basis of your works. Otherwise, the grace given by God is no longer grace. However, you can have God's righteousness as a free gift. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is the second death. The payment for your work is the second death. But the free grace gift of God the Father is eternal life, the resurrection life, in union with Christ Jesus our Lord. Last week we said that the life of the unbeliever is a life that circuits between right and wrong. But there is the life beyond right and wrong. John chapter 11, verse 25 says this, Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection from the dead, and I am the resurrection life. The resurrection life is the life beyond right and wrong. So let me remind you quickly of the two lifestyle offers of God's enemy, Satan, lasciviousness and legalism. And then let's look at the detail of the first passage in Romans chapter 2. What is lasciviousness? It is a lifestyle inclined toward open indulgence in the lusts of the flesh, including an insatiable greed and a relentless pursuit of sexual things, or for any other things that are obviously not part of God's plan for mankind. Many of them illegal things, by the way. It's the lifestyle of immorality. What is legalism? Legalism is smugly moralistic conduct, which is often intolerant of the opinions and behaviors of others. It is having or showing an exaggerated awareness of your own virtue. It is engagement in self-love and self-flattery. It's the thought that you're better than others, and that you are due a set of privileges because of it. It's the thought that God likes you because of something inherently good in you. It's the lifestyle of morality. Now the detail of Romans chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. Romans 2, 1, therefore you who practice the legalistic lifestyle, morality, have no excuse. Every one of you who passes judgment. For in that which you condemn another, like those practicing lasciviousness, you condemn yourself. For you who judge them practice the exact same things. Romans 2:2. And we know that the judgment of God also rightly falls not only on those who practice lasciviousness, but also upon those who practice the legalistic lifestyle. Romans 2:3, but do you suppose this, O men and women who practice the legalistic lifestyle, that when you pass judgment on those who practice lasciviousness and do the same lascivious things yourself, that you will somehow escape the judgment of God? Romans 2:4, or do you who practice the legalistic lifestyle think lightly of the riches of God the Father's kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God the Father is what leads you to repentance, which is a change of mind about a relationship with Christ? Romans 2:5. But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you unbelievers who practice lasciviousness and legalism are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath, and then the day of the revelation of the righteous judgment of God, a God who will render to each person according to his deeds. Romans 2:7. He will render payment to believers who, by perseverance in doing good, continually seek for glory and honor and immortality. God will render to his believers eternal life, the resurrection life. Romans 2:8, but to unbelievers who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but continually obey unrighteousness by committing evil deeds, God will render to them wrath and indignation. Romans 2:9, there will be tribulation and distress for every soul of mankind who does evil. That's a reference to unbelievers. Men and women of the Jews first, and also of the Greek, the Gentiles. Romans 2:10. But glory and honor and peace to everyone who does good for believers in Christ, the regenerate ones, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Romans 2:11, for there is no partiality with God. What is partiality? It's a show of favoritism. God is not one to show favoritism. Our God is a God of love, yes, unconditional love. And he is also a God of justice. He is fair. He doesn't play favorites. So for those who practice legalism, for those who think there is something wonderful in them that is missing in others, this lesson is loud and clear. It's a message that God does not play favorites. Therefore, lest you who practice legalism, the moral lifestyle, miss the message, you are not special to God on the basis of any deeds you do in self-righteousness. Romans chapter 4, verses 3 to 5, which is a preview of coming attractions in our study of Romans, says this. What does the Old Testament scripture say? And that's a specific reference to Genesis 15:6. It says, Abraham believed God. That's Jehovah Elohim, the Lord, God the Son. It's Jesus Christ in his pre-incarnate state before he came to earth. Abraham believed God, and Abraham's faith in the Lord was credited to him, that is, imputed to his account as absolute righteousness. Romans 4:4. Now to the one who works for salvation by practicing legalism, his payment is not credited as a favor from God's grace, but his payment is credited as what is due for his hard work. Unfortunately, self-righteousness credited will not get you to heaven. Romans 4:5. But to the one who does not work for salvation, but believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, who justifies the ungodly, the unbeliever, for salvation, this person's faith is credited as absolute righteousness, the admission ticket to heaven. There's only one way to heaven. Here's June Murphy, the Barah Ministries song worship leader, who will tell you about the only way to heaven. The song is Come See a Man, and the only way to heaven is through the person whom the song is about, the Lord Jesus Christ.
For most of my life, I felt like a woman, a woman of ill repute. For the things that I've done and what was done to me, I felt I was of no use. Like the woman at the well who spoke to Jesus, alone looking for a drink. I'd been looking for love in all the wrong places, helpless, needy, and weak. But since I've come to know Jesus by faith and grace alone, I will proclaim this invitation to the world, to all I know, and I will sing, come see a man who knows all about me, who knows what I've done and the love that I need. Come see a man who won't leave Christ, there is therefore now no condemnation. From the power of sin and death, I have been freed. All the guilt and shame I carried from my past was nailed with Christ to the tree. And I know that everything that has happened to me has passed through the Father's hands. And He was faithful and just to allow it all as part of His master plan. And He I belong to my beloved Savior, and from Him I will never ever roam. And I'm telling you that I know a man who knows all about me, who knows what I've done and the love that I need. I know a man that won't leave or forsake me, who died on a cross to set me free. I know a man who gives life eternal, who's the bread of life, living water for your thirst. I know a man who gives new beginnings, who gives second chances, who gives new birth. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. His name.
Relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ gets the moral and the immoral off the hook. Unbelievers force God's hand. Even though He doesn't prefer to handle them this way, the Lord, as a God of justice, must handle unbelievers with justice, even though He loves them unconditionally. God deals with unbelievers this way, John chapter 3, verse 36. He who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ has eternal life. But he who does not obey the command to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ will not see eternal life, but the wrath of God, the lake of fire, abides on him. God doesn't want to deal with his creatures that way. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 34, O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness, his grace is everlasting. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slow about his promise of salvation, as some accuse him of, but instead, the Lord is patient toward unbelievers, not wishing for any of his creatures to perish, but for all of his creatures to come to repentance, a change of mind about having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. God prefers to let us off the hook. And when an unbeliever chooses to believe in God the Father's Son, faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ lets him off the hook. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way to salvation. I am the truth through the Word of God. I am the eternal life, the resurrection life, and no one comes to God the Father but through believing in me. And of course, when God offers eternal life, there's no mention of sins because the Lord Jesus Christ paid for every sin of every creature at the cross. Not only for believers, but for the sins of the whole world, unbelievers as well. So if I were an unbeliever, I'd ask God to let me off the hook through believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 16, verse 31 says, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and everyone in your household who also believes." Thanks a lot for listening. Believe in Christ.
You've been listening to Pastor Rory Clark of Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church in Mesa, Arizona. Pastor Rory teaches face-to-face lessons twice a week. For more information, especially on meeting locations, go to the Barah Ministries website at barahministries.com. That's B-A-R-A-H ministries.com. The God Cares For You radio broadcast can be heard every Sunday from 12 to 12:30 right here on KXDG 1280 on your AM radio dial.